Please be seated. Heavenly Father, may these words I speak be faithful to your written word, and by your grace, lead us to hear your true and living word. Amen. We need look no further for the ultimate example of humility and service than right here in the passage we are looking at tonight. John sets the scene. It's just before. As we journey through the Gospels and hear of the miracles performed by Jesus, the knowledge and understanding he has for timing is impeccable. You may recall Stephen's comments on Sunday about how Jesus would tell people not to speak of the miracles he had performed, how Jesus told Peter not to tell of what had been revealed to him. It wasn't the right time. We come to today's reading. In the first verse of today's reading, we are told that Jesus knew the time had come. He knows everything that is coming his way. He has that reassuring knowledge, and he is able to see not only the cross, but the crown. We know with the benefit of hindsight the events that would follow this meal. We know from our reading that Jesus had always loved his own that his Father had given him. And having loved them, he began to show them just how much he loved them. The act of humble service we've heard about today is an acted parable, and the teaching of what followed was a careful preparation of Jesus' cleansing sacrifice at the cross. Jesus knows the time has come. He knew what was to come. He knew the reason for his coming. He had been given all things in his power. So then, when we consider the next thing that Jesus did, we may well need to bear this in mind, just who Jesus was. We are told the evening meal is in progress, and Jesus gets up, takes off his outer clothing, he sets it aside, and wraps a towel around his waist. He pours water into a basin and washes and dries his disciples' feet. It's extraordinary for a guest to do this, let alone a Jew. Let's be clear here, this is huge. Jesus, God's Son, who was sent to save us, gets up and washes the feet of his disciples. It's worth noting that nothing Jesus does is insignificant, and neither is this, as will become clearer. The footwear that Jesus and the disciples would have worn was probably nothing more than very stringy sandals. They wouldn't have had socks, covered shoes, and so on like we have today. Their feet would have been filthy from walking on dusty ground. Imagine your feet covered in sand on the beach after you've had either a swim or paddled in the sea, and we might start to get an idea of how their feet looked. It was custom for guests, as they arrived at someone's home, to have their feet washed on arrival by a servant. It wasn't a task normally undertaken by a Jew, but by a servant, not even the homeowner. It was a humble task, but here we see Jesus getting up in the middle of the meal. He casts aside all status. He casts aside any possible expectations that others should do this for him. He is the one. Jesus is the one who gets up, humbles himself in service to clean the feet of his disciples. Here, Jesus is setting us the ultimate example of casting away any status and demonstrating what it is to be of service in a humble and yet intimate act of washing feet. I'll come back to this in a little while. I think it's important for us to understand the customs of the time. Bathing then is not like bathing now. It wasn't a case that you had a shower or a bath as frequent as we can and do now. No, in those days it was not a daily task, it was a ritual task. With the Passover festival being a ritual occasion, you can be assured they all would have had their ritual bath. They were outwardly clean. In our reading today, as Jesus is about to wash Peter's feet, we learn that Peter told Jesus, "No, I don't want you, my Lord, to wash my feet." Peter doesn't want his mentor, his teacher, his Lord to do such a humble act for him. Peter may not have been the only one to think it, but he is the one noted as voicing this concern over his teacher, someone he held in very high regard, someone who has been with them through many miles of walking many hours of teaching, and they have witnessed miracles performed by Jesus. Peter has grasped that Jesus is the Messiah, the one who has come to save. When we think of this, combined with the traditions of the time, we perhaps can understand why Peter may not want Jesus to perform such a humble act, which is usually carried out by a servant, and certainly not his Lord. Peter does not understand what it is Jesus is doing. Jesus is gentle in his first response, in essence telling Peter, "We'll put it together in a little bit. Just let me do this." But Peter doesn't understand. I imagine Jesus sitting back on his heels while kneeling on the ground and saying to Peter, "Look, unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Are we like Peter in not understanding why we need to be washed? Peter doesn't want this, so he jumps all in, not just my feet, but my head and my hands as well. And we get Jesus' response. A person who has had a bath needs only wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. But Jesus is performing this act of washing their feet. He's not only cleansing them outwardly, but inwardly. Jesus must wash us if we are to belong to him. This humble act of washing the feet of his disciples is up close and personal. It's intimate and it's powerful. In this humble act, Jesus reveals a glimpse of God. He reveals God's desire to know us intimately. Through the act of Jesus washing our feet, in essence washing us, God is able to receive us, use us, and work through us. But if we refuse to be washed, we refuse to be part of God's family, and we refuse to have any part with Jesus. Now, we can be fooled into thinking that God created us. He knows my waking, my sleeping, and everything in between. Surely he knows me intimately. Well, I say to that, he knows us, but just how much of us do we want him to know? How much of our vulnerabilities do we want to let him into? You see, we need to be washed by Jesus afresh every day because we are human. We are sinners who need to be cleansed of our sins. And it is precisely because Jesus came from God that the humble act of washing feet can be to us a washing of our inner selves. Jesus sets aside the status of Messiah, Lord, teacher, mentor, and friend to become the servant. He humbles himself. In cleaning the feet of the disciples, Jesus doesn't miss out the one he knows is going to betray him so soon. No, Jesus cleans the feet of all the disciples, including Judas. To me, this speaks volumes. It says to me that all are loved, all are cared for, no matter who we are, what we have done, or what we may do. Jesus brings all close to serve, to remind us that we are all loved and cared for. God is not out of reach for any of us, no matter who we are or what we have done. So how do we serve today? Do we serve in the attitude of humility? Do we serve to then tell all about what we've done, maybe on social media? I'm not saying that we shouldn't post things on social media, not at all. It's a great way of sharing our story and getting a message out there. But just like an attitude of service is one of humility, it is not an attitude of telling everyone what service we have given or done. To be proud of the humble service, to then achieve praise or recognition for it, that just defeats the object of an attitude of service. We can't be both fully humble and proud at the same time. There's a heavy counterbalance. Pride is heavier than service. And we might as well not have served in the first place if all we are doing it for is praise. There's an opportunity for service in all that we do. Now, many of you will know that I work in the States. We look after buildings. We make sure they're safe for everyone to use, they're warm and so on. We can't have broken windows or leaky roofs, it just doesn't work. And in the States, we're often the behind the scenes team, the team that doesn't want to be pushed to the fore. We're quite happy to go unnoticed, So then it can maybe seem easier that we carry a humble attitude of service in most of the things that we do. That's not quite right. And it doesn't mean that I have the perfect attitude of service, because I don't. I'm aware of some of my limitations. I know some of the things that scare me. And like most people, I avoid them. And there's plenty of ways in which I can serve. But my excuses are louder than my eagerness to get up from the comfortable position at the meal, take off my outer clothing, and wash the feet of those who I am with. Let's revisit what it is that Jesus does for us in his humility, in his service, and ultimately by his sacrifice. Jesus does not hide the fact that he is here to serve. What he's done in the reading tonight is not hidden from the rest of the disciples. It's open. It's there for all to see. But it is service. Jesus does not hide the fact that his time has come. He knows full well that his time with the disciples is only growing shorter. Jesus knows what he has left to teach them doesn't have time for them to digest before he leaves. He has to make it clear that by washing their feet, they have been set an example of what it is they are to do for each other. Jesus says that no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If we are serving the Lord today, do we tell everyone what we did today, tomorrow, or later? I think we can, but the warning comes in how we do it. Remember, Jesus says no messenger is greater than the one who sent him. In servanthood, we know who sent us. We know in what power we are able to do what we do. And it is not our own, but God's. I think it's important to point out that in washing the feet of the disciples, at this time, Judas was present. Jesus didn't wash 11 people's feet and miss out Judas. No, Jesus included him. He did this knowing exactly what it was that Judas had to do. I think Jesus sets us another challenge here. In following Jesus, in wanting to be blessed by doing as Jesus did, we are not to exclude those who we do not like, those who we may think less of. We are not to exclude those who are different to us. We are not to exclude those who do us wrong. Now that is a challenge. It's a challenge to set aside our feelings, whatever they may be, and approach the individual with an attitude of service. So how do we do this? How do we serve those we know have done or will do us wrong? I don't know. But I do know that Jesus is with us in our service. Jesus gets us through so very much. So for me, it is through prayer that I ask for Jesus to help me serve all I meet, friend or foe. I ask him to help me serve them as he has so humbly served me. Moving on, after the disciples' feet have been washed and Judas has left, we get the sense that Jesus is now able to reveal more to the disciples than that he couldn't reveal while Judas was there. There's a sense of urgency, for Jesus knows what is to come. Glorification of God and the Son of Man is overflowing in verse 31 and 32, and truly God's glory is going to be revealed in a short amount of time. I sense that Jesus is overwhelmed with the revelation of the glory of God with the coming events. Let us not forget that Jesus knows what must take place. And as Stephen said on Sunday, Jesus faces this. Jesus is assured of the love of his Father in our reading. A few weeks ago, God was heard to say as much. Jesus knows what it is he is doing is pleasing the Father, and in glory abounding it will be revealed. I also sense an element of concern for the disciples from Jesus. He has only been with his disciples for a short time. He has shared as much as he can, and yet the disciples have grasped and understood so little of what Jesus has been trying to teach. Yet Jesus now leaves a new commandment in verse 34 and following. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. The commandment is to love as Jesus has loved. The disciples And us, by the gift of God's word, have travelled with Jesus through his ministry. We have seen what it is Jesus can do. We have understood, we think, what it is Jesus has taught. And now we have been left a new commandment. In all that Jesus has done, from the first miracle of turning water into wine, we see that Jesus has both loved and served. In his service, he has held on to the Father, but he has served our needs. Jesus, our Lord and King, our Saviour, humbled himself, became the servant. He set aside all status, bringing it to be meaningless and turning status on its head. Jesus put love and service above all else. In his unbounding love for us, above status, in his humble service, he saved us. In doing so, Jesus sets us the challenge to love everyone as he has loved us. That's not always easy. It might be easy to love our families, our friends, and so on, but Jesus doesn't tell us to only love those people. Jesus tells us to love one another as he has loved us. I take this opportunity again to remind us that Jesus loved Judas. Knowing what he was to do, he loved him, he served him, he washed his feet, and Jesus knew the betrayal was coming, but yet he still treated him the same as the rest. Can we, as we travel toward the cross and beyond, follow the example of Jesus and the commandment he has set us? Are we able to love one another as Jesus has? By this commandment,